Well, they weren't really doing anything wrong. I mean, it was almost Passover, and faithful Jews were on their pilgrimage to the temple. It happened every year, and every year it was the same. People from all over, thousands, were bringing their animals for their obligatory sacrifice. The system was in place. Animals were expected to see if they were clean or without blemish. And if they weren't, a different animal could be purchased. And of course, there were some available right there. And of course, they were expensive. And if you didn't have the right currency, you'd have to exchange your money or change your money at the going rate, which usually cost the buyer more money. So the system was flawed. But it was the system, and it had been working for many, many years. So that lashing out from Jesus took everyone by surprise. The money changers, the livestock inspectors, the buyers and the sellers, the rich and the poor, and even the animals, I'll bet. Jesus' anger surprised everyone. Does it surprise you, Jesus being angry? I think it can be a little bit hard to imagine Jesus turning over tables and scattering coins and throwing money all over the place and shooing everyone and everything out of the temple. I mean, aren't we called to be like Jesus? And yet, aren't we cautioned to be slow to anger? Proverbs 22:24 says, "Make no friends with those given to anger, and do not associate with hotheads." Well, actually, there's plenty of scripture in both the Old and the New Testament that does not promote anger as a very desirable temperament. All of it, though, acknowledges that we, humans, have a little bit of a problem with anger on occasion. We're not all hotheads, but surely there are times when we get angry and maybe not necessarily, not needed in such a way. So I think in this case, it's important to remember, helpful to remember, that Jesus is both fully human and fully divine. We know that about Jesus. And I think in this very moment, we were seeing the fully human Jesus, who has the whole wide range of emotions that we do, even anger. So yes, Jesus was angry. But his outburst got him the attention that he was looking for. He had something really important to tell them, something that was jaw-dropping and puzzling. When the Jews challenged him to show them a sign that would justify what he'd messed up when he was mad, he said, "Destroy the temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Well, that didn't make much sense to them, and rightly so, because this was a very elaborate, beautiful temple that took nearly two generations to build. So I don't think they were buying it. But we know that Jesus wasn't talking about the physical temple, per se, where they were standing. Jesus was talking about his body. His body was a temple. The tearing down and raising up referred to his death and resurrection 3 days later. Jesus was the temple where God resided. So in other words, God was right in front of them, not in the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies, but right in front of them. They only needed to just stop what they were doing and turn their face to Jesus. When Jesus went to Jerusalem, he saw the busy marketplace, and he saw it as a stumbling block, or maybe even something that distracted them, kept them at a distance from God, kept them from encountering God. The system they'd created to ensure that everyone had a suitable sacrifice just wasn't working. It might have been convenient, but it was also taking advantage of people, the poor, putting money in the pockets of those who really didn't need more, probably. Jesus was disrupting an unjust system and upsetting the status quo. Jesus was turning their world upside down, and it was no longer business as usual. Jesus' body was the dwelling place of God, and as such, it changed everything, because God was now accessible without sacrifices and without the marketplace. God was in plain sight in the person of Jesus. So later in the Gospel of John, where we have the farewell discourse and Jesus is preparing the disciples for his taking leave, he says to them, "I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." So if we follow that logic, if Jesus' body is a temple and Jesus is in us, we can deduce that our bodies are also temples. Simple logic. We are the body of Christ, Jesus' hands and face and feet, and God dwells in each of us, all shapes, all sizes, all colors, all abilities. Our bodies are temples. So a question that I have for you and for me is, in our daily lives, our homes, our workplace, where we volunteer, in the store, at a gas station, a concert or a ball game, on Sunday, as well as Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, are our bodies acting like temples? Are we acting as if our body is the temple where God is? Are other people seeing God in us? Are they seeing God? Are your family, strangers, close friends, worst enemies, do they see God's presence in you or in me? I wonder, do they see the face of Jesus in me? Now, I would confess that my answer to that question is far too frequently no. I know that's hard to believe, but I'm not always the hands and face and feet of Jesus as I would like to be in the world. There are times now and then, believe it or not, when people have said to me, actually many times when people have said to me, "I can't believe you just said that. I can't believe you just did that. You're a priest." Well, yeah, I'm a priest, and I'm human, and I'm not perfect. I mean, hasn't anybody ever said to you, "I can't believe you said that. You're a Christian," right? No, not, I know, not you, Ross, but that's okay. You know, we're far from perfect, but sometimes those comments are a reminder to ask, am I the dwelling place of God? And wonder, make us wonder if maybe Jesus is invisible in that moment. Anger is just one of those emotions that can sometimes veil the face of Jesus in us. And yet in today's story, Jesus, the Son of God, was angry. He was turning over tables and throwing coins and driving out cattle and sheep. Jesus' anger was a visceral reaction to something specific: the injustice of a broken system. He was saying, enough is enough. As the temple of God, he was saying, look here. God is here. Things are different. He was turning their world upside down. For us, in our temple bodies, is there ever a time or a place for us to be angry like that? I would say, I wouldn't throw tables over, but I would say yes. When our anger is channeled towards injustice, where people are suffering and oppressed, we should get agitated, even angry, when we see a system that is flawed. When there are 18 school shootings over the course of 2 months and 17 teachers and students die in one of them, that's a problem. We should be angry. We should be angry when our prisons are disproportionately populated with people of color because of ethnic disparities. We should be angry when people with disabilities or people who are mentally ill are not getting the care they need because there is not enough funding. We should be angry when senior citizens can't afford the health care that they need. We can even be angry when children are pouring out of the public school systems to attend private school because they can't get the education that they need. We have reason to be angry. Now, we might not agree on what's needed or what's broken or how to fix it, but complacency is not an option for us. We can't let that get in the way of doing something. So our anger should be such that we are moved to do something. It's not to hurt other people. That's different. So there are plenty of ways to get involved. You know them. We live in a time where movers and shakers are active in our country and in the world. People of all generations are stirring things up with new movements, and they're reviving old movements. Me Too, Enough is Enough, Never Again, Black Lives Matter. The list goes on and on. Angry people have turned their anger into determination. They're standing up and they're marching for what matters to them. Whether it's participating in nonviolent protests on Capitol Hill, or going to a town hall meeting, or writing a check, or maybe making phone calls, or standing on a corner getting signatures for a petition for something in your neighborhood, engaging in civil discourse, all of those things. There's a way to channel our anger for the sake of others. There is a place for anger when it disrupts what is not working, when it heals and reconciles what is broken, when it draws us closer to Jesus and reveals the glory of God. This week, wherever you are, whoever you're with, whatever you're doing, whatever you say, whatever you hear or read in the news, pay attention to your body. Your body as the temple where Jesus abides. And ask yourself, can others see Jesus in me? Is the love of God for all people showing through? We're halfway through Lent. We are midway on our journey alongside Jesus to Jerusalem. 3 more weeks to be mindful of carrying our cross as we walk with Jesus. 3 more weeks of accepting our body as a temple where God resides. And 3 more weeks to deepen our relationship with Christ. It isn't an easy journey, is it? But it is one to savor. So, walk, don't run. Amen.